Today on State of the World, a foiled assassination plot in Ukraine, and Russia marks its World War II victory. Thanks for listening to State of the World from NPR. We bring you the day's most vital international stories up close where they're happening. It's Thursday, May 9th. I'm Greg Dixon. Ukraine says they stopped a plot to assassinate President Zelensky and other top officials. They exposed a network of spies they say were working with Russia to kill the president. Here's NPR's Joanna Kakissis in Kyiv.
This is not the first time Russia has allegedly tried to assassinate Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. But Ukraine's domestic intelligence agency says this time the plot was much more sophisticated. Spokesman Artem Dyakhtarenko said in a video statement that Russia recruited spies inside the State Guard of Ukraine, which protects Zelensky and top officials in his government.
The network included two colonels from the Government Protection Unit who leaked classified information to Russia. One of their tasks was to search for soldiers close to the president's security team who could kidnap and kill him.
Ukraine's domestic intelligence agency also posted a video of an unnamed suspect, a gray-haired man in a gray parka. His face is blurred. He says he was told to gauge the mood inside the president's security detail and find anyone ready to join the plot. The spokesman Dekhtyarenko says the Russians also plan to kill the heads of both the military and the domestic intelligence agencies.
They planned to launch a missile strike at the coordinates of the house where the official was supposed to be. Then they were going to attack those who remained with a drone and then follow up with another missile to destroy evidence.
Ukraine released audio of an alleged exchange between a Russian security services officer and a suspect involved in the assassination plots. The Russian officer says if you complete the task, you will have at least $50,000. The head of Ukraine's domestic intelligence agency, Vasyl Malyuk, said in a statement posted to social media that he personally oversaw the top secret operation to expose the plot that would have killed him and the president. He called it a terrorist attack that was supposed to be a gift to Russian President Vladimir Putin for his inauguration on Tuesday.
It's NPR's Joanna Kakissis in Kyiv. Meanwhile, in Russia, the country marked the 79th anniversary of the Soviet Union's victory over Nazi Germany on Thursday. This meant a parade in Moscow's Red Square and a speech by Russian President Vladimir Putin. In his speech, Putin once again connected the USSR's victory over fascist Germany to Russia's current fight in Ukraine. NPR's Charles Maines braved the unseasonably cold weather and talked to some people who attended the event.
Even for Moscow, snow and freezing temperatures in May are rare. But so too is a chance to attend Victory Day celebrations on Red Square, where Russians honor the some 20 million Soviets who died fighting Hitler's army. I've always dreamed of attending this parade, says Yelena Hinichkina, who said she braved the cold to come see the marching soldiers, the weapons, and Vladimir Putin.
Наш президент всегда великолепен.
Our president is always wonderful. He knows what to say, what to do, and how to make decisions.
Minutes later, Putin addressed soldiers, veterans, and a few foreign dignitaries, nearly all from former Soviet republics, accusing an arrogant West of forgetting the immense Soviet sacrifices.
Today we are witnessing attempts to distort the truth about World War II, a truth that is uncomfortable for those who have a habit of duplicity and lies.
Putin also accused the West of turning a blind eye to fascism's return in modern-day Ukraine, a claim Western governments say the Kremlin has used to falsely justify the invasion of its neighbor. Yet Zakhar, a 21-year-old soldier who declined to provide his last name due to military protocol, tells me history is repeating itself. Then and now, we're in a critical period that could change the direction of the world, says Zakhar. He went on to compare the Nazi siege of Leningrad, during which more than 1.5 million Soviets perished, to what he called Ukraine's siege of the Donbass. In his speech, Putin insisted Russia sought to prevent a global clash over Ukraine, but warned Russia would not tolerate threats. Underscoring that message, Putin noted the country's nuclear forces were always on alert. Minutes later, a Yars intercontinental ballistic missile rolled across Red Square, a rare showpiece with most other military hardware currently deployed in battle. Yet the Russian leader also acknowledged the country was going through a difficult period, even as he praised the heroism of all those currently fighting in Ukraine.
We are humbled by your fortitude and self-sacrifice. All of Russia stands with you.
Yet not everyone is so sure. Yelena is part of a movement of families of civilians who were drafted, sons, fathers, and husbands. They're demanding a complete demobilization and the return home of their loved ones. We're withholding Yelena's last name out of concerns for her safety. Yelena says her son and others like him were pulled into the war, not as heroes, but slaves, enduring never-ending service on the front lines. In these times, it's dangerous to call for peace, she tells me. But my son wants to go home. They all do. Charles Maines, NPR News, Moscow.
That's the State of the World from NPR. If you appreciate on-the-ground reporting from both Kyiv and Moscow, consider supporting it by joining State of the World Plus. It's just a few bucks a month, and it really helps. You can sign up at plus.npr.org or on our show page in Apple Podcasts. And thanks for listening.